following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs. Will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Hello, I'm Brianna Keeler. Wolf Blitzer is on assignment. We begin with breaking news. White House officials confirming Press Secretary Sean Spicer has resigned. This resignation was sudden, and sources inside the White House say staffers are shocked by the news. Spicer's resignation coming as President Trump announces he's hired Anthony Scaramucci as the new White House Communications Director. Scaramucci has been a loyal supporter of President Trump, serving on his campaign as well as his transition team. I want to go straight to the White House now. There is going to be an on-camera briefing there in the next hour. This is where we find CNN White House correspondent Sarah Murray live for us. So, Sarah, tell us what you're hearing about what led up to this resignation.
Yeah, tell us.
This has been a whirlwind. You know, we reported last night that President Trump was seriously considering offering Anthony Scaramucci, someone who worked on his transition and who came from New York, who knows the president well, this job as White House Communications Director. Now, we are told the president was considering this without his chief of staff, Reince Priebus, knowing, without Steve Bannon, his chief strategist, realizing how close he was to this decision, without Sean Spicer, his White House press secretary, realizing that the president had essentially made up his mind. So today, President Trump met with Anthony Scaramucci here at the White House. He officially offered him the job. Scaramucci accepted. And we're told that after that, that is when Sean Spicer decided to tender his resignation, essentially in protest. He was opposed to offering Scaramucci this job. And pointed out the fact that Scaramucci doesn't necessarily have a lot of experience when it comes to the communication strategy side of things. Obviously, we've seen Scaramucci a lot on television defending the president, but not so much in this strategic role. Apparently, this was a bridge too far for Sean Spicer, who decided to tender his resignation. Now, we're told that when Reince Priebus did introduce Scaramucci to the staff and say, this is going to be the new communications director, Sean was in the room. He was upset, but he was gracious while these introductions were made, and while they were essentially handing off the oversight of the press shop over to Anthony Scaramucci. So this is a very interesting moment, not just for what is going to happen to the communication shop, but what this means for all these other relationships in the West Wing. The fact that President Trump decided to tap Anthony Scaramucci, someone his kids were happy to see in the job, Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump, they
were
pro Scaramucci taking this role of White House Communications Director. Steve Bannon, Reince Priebus, those folks, not so much. Now, Priebus has put out a statement today essentially saying, I 100% support this move. I've known Anthony Scaramucci for a long time. I'm behind him. This is all good. It'll be interesting to see how that actually does play out in the White House, because the relationship is a little bit more fraught than the White House chief of staff is letting on today.
You know, this is the thing about the dog days of summer. Nothing much happens. It's just downtime. Oh, my God. Welcome to a Friday. You know, last night, the big breaking news was Donald Trump was pushing back on the Robert Mueller's investigation. He was trying to undercut Mueller, investigating the investigator, so to speak. Right. And then we also learned that he was inquiring about pardons, what his rights are to pardon family members and to pardon himself. I mean, that was the big story. And I thought, all right, you know, I'm so over this stuff. It's just It's really disconcerting. And then this morning, this afternoon, who knows anymore, the news breaks that Sean Spicer is quitting because Anthony Scaramucci is going to be the new White House communications director. Now, they've been without a communications director for a couple of months, and Spicer was basically doing the job of press secretary and communications director, and word is that Scaramucci comes in. Now, this is a guy who has no Washington, D.C. experience. He's a New York Wall Street guy. He was another one from Goldman Sachs. I got to tell you, one thing Donald Trump has proved, he did tell the news about something.
The heads would spin. Your head will spin.
Your head will spin.
Your head will spin.
My head has been spinning so much, I expect the green pea soup to come spurting out of it. My head is spinning. Wasn't he going to drain the swamp, right? Wasn't it Trump who was critical of Hillary Clinton and her Goldman Sachs contacts and speeches and connections? There are more Goldman Sachs veterans in this administration than ever before. Now, Anthony Scaramucci wasn't a communications guy on Wall Street. He was a hedge fund manager. He left Goldman Sachs. He founded his own firm, and I guess he sold it believing he was going to join the administration. And then, there was no job right away. So he was floundering. He had to do something. And now he's communications director. Scaramucci took to the podium. They did today have an on-camera briefing. Oh, my God. Maybe this is a sign of something new. Maybe Spicer, one of the speculators, that's what I call the commentators on the cable news channels, because they're speculators. They don't know. You know, they were speculating that the main reason there have been so few on-camera briefings, it's been like 23, 24 days or so since the last one before today. The speculation was it was because Sean Spicer and, I guess to a lesser extent, Sarah Huckabee Sanders didn't like being yelled at by Donald Trump. And the less time they were on camera, the less they got reamed for what they looked like or how they sounded. I don't know. Somebody in the chat room asked if we've entered the Twilight Zone yet. Yeah.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, Opposite World.
We are so firmly inside Opposite World, just nothing makes sense. So anyway, so the news breaks, right? And the briefing was supposed to start at 2 o'clock. It started around, I don't know, 3:20-ish or so. I listened for a while. First Sarah Huckabee Sanders got up. She made a few comments, you know, her prepared remarks, and then said this.
Finally, I'd like to read a statement from the president on the resignation of Press Secretary Sean Spicer. I am grateful for Sean's work on behalf of my administration and the American people. I wish him continued success as he moves on to pursue new opportunities.
I love that line.
Just look at his great television ratings. Sean will continue to serve the administration through August.
Oh.
And the president has also appointed Anthony Scaramucci as communications director. And I have a statement on Anthony's appointment as well.
Okay.
Anthony is a person I have great respect for, and he will be an important addition to this administration. He's been a great supporter and will now help implement key aspects of our agenda while leading the communications team. We have accomplished so much, and we are being given credit for so little.
Aye.
The good news is the people get it, even if the media doesn't.
The people will get it, even if the media doesn't. Oh, boy. I'm opening up the phone line. So if you want to comment on this latest turn of events or anything else you want to talk about today, feel free. 954-889-6410 is the number. You can Skype in to Nicole Sandler, just all one word. Who's this in the 814 area code? Who's calling?
This would be Lisa Hauserman.
Hey, Lisa Hauserman. How are you?
How are you feeling after your, withdrawal from the opiate scene? Are you doing okay?
I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. It's a challenge. I'm done with the opioids. Not that anybody cares, but let me tell you, I'll tell you another story. I don't think you're in the YouTube chat room. I don't know how long you've been listening, but before my cancer surgery, I used to complain all the time that I suffer from restless leg syndrome. And I don't know if you're familiar with that at all, but it's a
I am, yes.
It's a terrible affliction where I'd go nights, I mean, for days in a row of not sleeping because it was so bad. Basically, you can't lie down. Most times you can't even sit down. You got to get up and move your legs. It's horrible. But it was funny. The last time I remembered having a really bad night with the restless legs was the night before my surgery. We stayed at a hotel down in Miami. And of course, that night I couldn't sleep because my legs were acting up. Ever since then, my legs have been under control. As soon as I got off the opioids, they were out of my system. My legs started acting up again. And I had forgotten that opioids help the symptoms of restless leg syndrome. So now, it's back again.
Also, oh, I'm sorry to interrupt. That's my nature, though.
That's okay.
Now, also, when you're withdrawing from those opiates, the restless leg syndrome was hideous for me when I did that.
Oh, really?
I never suffered from it in real life, only when I, you know, was coming off those pills.
That's interesting. Anyway,
so
I know that's not what
anyhow,
you called
the
about.
The reason for my call, I'll try to be brief, but it might be difficult.
That's okay.
Is I was just wondering if you've ever heard of how Marco Rubio was quite instrumental in terms of the health care costs going
the
up.
The risk corridors.
The risk corridors. That's what I was just wanting to kind of get out to your audience. I wrote a column about it and did a video about it the other day.
Explain, please, because Marco
Rubio. I just think it's real important.
I would love you to explain it. Marco Rubio sabotaged the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act was set up to work. Now, it's not perfect. It needs a lot of fixes. We know that. But the reason that insurance companies are pulling out of the health insurance markets is because of something that Marco Rubio slipped into an amendment that has to do with the risk corridors. Lisa, you want to explain it?
Well, yeah, I'll do the best that I possibly can.
Okay.
It was one of those bills that was a must-pass kind of deal, and you're right, he slipped something into the language, which I wish we had a law against that.
Yeah.
But anyhow, basically, as you said, it was set up to work, and what the situation was that clearly the big insurance companies were going to take a loss over the first several years because of the fact that everybody was getting in on the polls, what do they call it? The insurance exchanges, kind of lost my mind. And, of course, some of the people had pre-existing, and it might cost a little bit more. So bottom line is that they were going to take some sort of financial hit, the poor darlings. They might make $1 billion less than normal.
Exactly.
Nonetheless, to make up for this, Obama had made it into his wording that they would be reimbursed at a certain time through that tax on the super wealthy.
Right, they would be made
whole,
basically.
Marco Rubio got in there and ruined it. He did what you said he did. And I think more people need to talk about this because I know on corporate media, people have called into Tom Hartman and said, why isn't my corporate media talking head mentioning this risk corridor stuff?
No,
and nobody really
A lot of people don't
know.
Television they don't know. They don't understand it. The other thing is, so basically, and Donald Trump, there's another thing as well that's similar. It's a cost-sharing provision, and it goes, I think it goes hand-in-hand with the risk corridors. They could be the same thing, but they go hand-in-hand, where the insurance companies, until the markets even out, would take a loss, a new study from the Kaiser Family Foundation shows that they're already remaking those profits, that they're already back on the road to the obscene profitability they were making before. So any losses they were sustaining, they're already coming back from that. But now the government has an option not to pay those extra fees, not to make the insurance companies whole, to make up for the difference in what they would ostensibly lose if more people who were more costly or sick or older people enrolled than younger, healthier, patients that don't cost much money for the insurance companies. And so that's what's at risk now. In fact, when I spoke to Bernie Sanders about it, he talked about it in terms of cost sharing. I think it's the same thing, but risk corridors is the technical term, and Marco Rubio slipped something in so the government does not have to pay it. And you know what? Donald Trump can just decide not to pay it. And that's where we are now.
Yes, that's exactly right, Nicole, and this is why, people are going on and on about, it's failing tremendously and all this garbage.
No, it isn't.
It was set up to fail by little sneaky Rubio who just got in there and reared his rather attractive head. You know, I can't call him ugly. He is cute. It's unfortunate he's Marco Rubio, but he's kind of nice to look at, I suppose. But at any rate, I just sort of wanted your greater viewing audience and listening audience to maybe, if they Google that, I believe there was a good article, and I think Tom Hartman said the New York Times about it.
Quite possibly.
14 or 15.
Just Google Marco Rubio risk corridors. Risk.
Right.
R-I-S-K corridors, and you'll find it. It's all there. Yeah, and people don't talk about it because, you know what? On TV, they do things in these short little sound bites. And it's amazing, too, because some of those shows, they go on and on about nothing forever. They just have to have one person who's a Trump supporter and one who isn't, and let them yell over each other as if that's good television. That's when I changed the channel. I mean, I watch to try to get information because I need to know what I'm talking about, which sometimes I do.
Well, yeah, that's something that's called like neutrality bias. It's the latest, not the latest in the corporate media, but they feel that if you have one Republican, one Democrat,
yeah,
right, and oh well, you decide, audience. That's not
right.
The way real life works,
no,
ladies and gentlemen.
No, it isn't. You know, in fact, you and I disagree on certain things. Lisa is a regular in the YouTube chat room, and hold on, I want to.
Must we bring up the differences?
No, we don't have to. That's all right.
I still live for you, and that's why I usually don't call and say anything controversial. You know,
okay.
We're going to.
Well, I love you very much, and thank you for calling. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Absolutely.
Lisa. Thanks a lot. You know, it's important, too.
Thank you for taking my call.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for calling. You know, it is important. And hold on, 954. I'm going to get to you next. It's important we talk about it because right now, while we're distracted, about Donald Trump, you know, trying to figure out if he can pardon himself, and Spicy leaving and Scaramucci coming in and all this. And while all that's going on, Mitch McConnell is going to bring up one of these health care bills for a vote next week. And Lisa Murkowski is said to be floundering a little bit. Don't take your eye off the target. Don't take your eye off of what's important. They are trying to take away our health care, and they could get away with it. Don't take your eye off the ball. All right. Who is this? Hello?
Hello. This is David. I'm in North Miami Beach.
Hi, David. What's on your mind?
Yeah, we talked on 9/11 2007. We both had full time. And we all need the IDs in order because it's getting harder to get them.
Yes.
So that we can vote, so our friends can vote, because I'm going to renew my license, and it's crazy. I can't just spend a few dollars.
Now, do you drive?
Spend a few dollars online. You have to get a birth certificate.
Uh-huh. No, and you know, I said this the other day.
It's insane.
The election is a year and a half away. Mm-hmm. Now is the time to start doing whatever you have to do. Find out what the laws are in your state, what the voter ID laws are in your state, and make sure you have the proper identification.
And good for you.
Yeah, because it's that important. There's that much on the line right now. Is that all
right,
you were calling about?
I'm sure they're doing this to make it harder on us.
Oh, of course. That's the only reason they're doing this.
It's Kobach and friends.
It goes way further back than that.
Dan Bondi.
It goes further back than that. It goes way, way back. There's a clip I play all the time. I'll play it for you now. It's from 1980. A guy is named Paul Weyrich. He was one of the founders of ALEC. And here, listen to
exactly
what he said. Listen to what he said back then.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
So the Republicans play the long game. They've been working on this for decades. This is what they're about. The fewer people that vote, the better for them. Because, you know, there are more registered Democrats in this country than there are Republicans. They're trying to change that, and they're trying to make it very difficult for Democrats to be able to vote. So the election's 18 months away.
They taught us how to live. They taught us how to love. Yeah,
they do. Anything else on your mind, David?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling. It's a really good point.
Thank you.
It doesn't matter how far away the election is. start working on it now so you're not taken by surprise, because it might take months to track down your birth certificate, if indeed you can, to be able to get a day off, to go to a driver's license office to get a driver's license. In your state, you know, find out what, I believe a driver's license works for ID in any state, or if you don't drive, a DMV-issued government ID. But you do need a birth certificate for that. You know, it's interesting. When I took my kid to register for school, they want to make sure that you belong in the district. But you could bring in two utility bills, you know, enough ID that proves you are who you are and that you live at the address you say you live at. That's all it should be. Plus, you know, everything's on computer now. There's no reason why they can't do a signature verification. You know, have your signature in the computer file, look it up, match it, say, okay, that looks close enough for me, and you're in. If someone wants to vote as a dead person or somebody that's not really them, which doesn't happen, by the way, chances are they're not going to be a good enough forger to be able to just, you know, sign a name and have the signature look identical or close enough to identical to get you through. It's not about having ID to say, this is who I am. If that were the case, you can open up your wallet and pull out 20 credit cards or three, you know, your library card, your college ID. In Texas, your college ID, even if you go to a state university, that's not good enough. But your gun license is. You gotta realize what they're trying to do. So I know it seems like you got plenty of time. You don't. David had a good point there. All right. You know, Juliana Forlano is going to join us today. Let me tell you a couple more things back to the press conference with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. So Anthony Scaramucci comes out. He immediately announces that Sarah will be the new press secretary. Sean Spicer, who's leaving, will be in place through August for a nice smooth transition, because things transition so smoothly in the Trump administration. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders will take over. I'm going to save my comments about Sarah to talk with Juliana Forlano about, because I've got a pet peeve. So we'll get to that. Do I have time? Yeah. So here's what happened when Anthony Scaramucci came out. He gets up. So she introduces him and he goes up to the microphone, and this happened.
I'm going to be very brief. I'm going to make my remarks informal, and then I'll take questions from everybody. First off, I'd like to announce formally that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to be the president. Oh,
they can't hear him.
Better.
Okay. Now, the new communications director, they can't hear him.
So you can congratulate her after the session. You still can't hear me? No sound?
Okay. There's something just maybe ironic about that, prophetic.
I'm going to start over. You guys heard me in the front, though, right? What did I say, John? Sarah's going to be the press secretary, right? Okay, so congratulations to you, Sarah. Okay.
Does that mean she has to wear her false eyelashes? So I couldn't help myself.
I want to make a couple of statements. The first thing I want to say is I want to thank personally Sean Spicer.
All right,
you know what? On behalf of myself, the president, the administration.
I'm not going to bore you with that. He went on like that. He talked. He's a fast talker. He's a New Yorker. He's a money guy. And he's very good at marketing and branding and that stuff. But he's, you know, we'll see what happens. He uses the word love a lot. I love Donald. He didn't call him Donald. He called him the president. I love him. I love what he stands for. I love how he communicates. He was asked, will there be more on-camera press briefings? And what he said is, got to talk to the president about it. I mean, that was pretty much the answer to everything. I'm not going to say anything until I talk to the president and know, you know, and we're all on the same page. But he said he and Reince Priebus, they are the best of friends, which goes directly against the CNN report I played for you at the top of the show, right? Same thing with Spicer. They get along great. It's just going to be Spicer wanted to give them a clean slate to start with. You know, it's the typical bullshit. So I have no reason to expect anything differently will happen than has been happening. Ay, 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 we are so screwed. All right. Well, I have today's What's News for you. Of course, it was produced before this news broke. If I had to keep updating what's news each day with all the breaking news, I would never get a moment's rest. So this is this morning's What's News, which is still news. It just doesn't have the spicy and Scaramucci. Scaramucci, yes, do the Fandango. A lot of people are singing that song today. I don't think he has anything to do with Queen, but then again, you never know. Juliana Forlano returns. If you're not familiar with Juliana, she is a very funny lady. I figured on a Friday we needed the Forlano here. So we'll chat with Juliana about the ways of the world next. I read the news
today, oh boy. It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The Washington Post is reporting that some of President Trump's lawyers are exploring ways to limit or undercut special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation, building a case against what they allege are his conflicts of interest, and discussing the president's authority to grant pardons. The Washington Post's Ashley Parker.
It underscores just how nervous the president, his aides, and his legal team are about this widening Russia probe, especially to find out that the president has been asking, you know, people how exactly pardons would work, right down to if he could pardon himself. And basically, they are very worried, and the president views this also in terms of fairness. He basically thinks it is unfair. He thinks Mueller is going outside the scope of his probe. And one thing he's particularly frustrated by is his belief that Mueller could look into his tax returns. You'll recall that's something he refused to release publicly to much criticism. And so the idea that Robert Mueller could not just investigate Russia, but could look into his finances, his tax returns, his family's finances, their business dealings, is deeply frustrating to this president.
In a wide-ranging interview with the New York Times published Thursday, the president went after the Justice Department, beginning with Robert Mueller, alleging a conflict of interest because he interviewed for the FBI director job.
Did you know Mueller was one of the people that was being interviewed?
I did, actually.
He was sitting in that chair. We had a wonderful meeting.
Day before.
Did he want the job?
The day before. Of course, he was up here. Mueller wanted the job. I said, what the hell is this all about? Talk about conflicts. Mm-hmm. Now, he was interviewing for the job.
If Mueller was looking at your finances or your family's finances unrelated to Russia, is that a red line?
Would that be a breach of what his actual
I would say yes. Yeah, I would say yes.
If he was outside that lane, would that mean he'd have to go?
Would you be? Would you?
No, I think that's a violation. Look, this is about Russia.
But what would you do?
I can't answer that question because I don't think it's going to happen.
On CNN, Jake Tapper told of the humiliating attack on Attorney General Jeff Sessions by the president.
The most humiliating of the many belittlements in the interview was perhaps his personal rebuke of the first U.S. senator to ever publicly support him, the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, for being, quote, very unfair to him by recusing himself from the Russia investigation after it was revealed, of course, that Sessions had been, during his confirmation hearing, less than transparent about contacts he had had with Russian officials, and then giving the president zero heads up about it.
Zero. So Jeff Sessions takes the job, gets into the job, recuses himself. I then have, which, frankly, I think is very unfair to the president. How do you take a job and then recuse yourself? If he would have recused himself before the job, I would have said, thanks, Jeff, but I can't, you know, I'm not going to take you. It's extremely unfair. And that's evident.
NBC's Katie Turr pulls them all together.
So whether it's the AG, the deputy AG, the acting FBI chief, the former FBI chief, or the special counsel's office, the president's message seems to be that all of their motives should be questioned. In other words, the entire Justice Department can't be trusted at best, or it's carrying out a conspiracy at worst.
In another off-camera briefing Thursday, Sarah Huckabee Sanders made it clear that the president is warning against Mueller expanding the scope of the investigation.
The point he's trying to make is that the clear purpose of the Russia investigation is to review Russia's meddling in the election, and that should be the focus of the investigation, nothing beyond that. The president's making clear that the special counsel should not move outside of the scope of the investigation.
Meanwhile, Jeff Sessions vowed to stay in his job, despite the president's public comments that would have others heading for the door. Asked whether he was considering resigning, Sessions said,
"We in this Department of Justice will continue every single day to work hard to serve the national interest and we wholeheartedly join in the priorities of President Trump. He gave us several directives. One is to dismantle internet transnational criminal organizations. That's what we're announcing today. The dismantling of the largest dark website in the world by far. And I congratulate our people for that. I have the honor of serving as Attorney General. It's something that goes beyond any thought I would have ever had for myself. We love this job, we love this department, and I plan to continue to do so as long as that is appropriate.
Mitch McConnell is planning to bring an Obamacare repeal bill to the Senate for a vote on Tuesday, though it's unclear which bill will be voted on. Republicans can only lose two votes and move forward. Susan Collins is still a definite no on both the repeal and replace and repeal and delay. Rand Paul has said he'd vote yes on the repeal and replace if he's assured a vote on the straight repeal. Senator John McCain's diagnosis of brain cancer also has the GOP one vote down, or at least leaves a huge question mark regarding whether he'd be able to make the trip back to Washington. In another blow to the GOP, the Congressional Budget Office said the latest bill would produce 22 million additional uninsured people by 2026 and drive up premiums for many older Americans. And that's a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate our What's News segments, I hope you'll check out the show Tuesdays through Fridays from 3 to 4 Eastern at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
Live from New York, it's Juliana Furlano, star of Absurdity Today.
What's that? Not Absurdity Today?
That is to say, Juliana Furlano of WBAI. No, not that one either. Juliana Furlano of, this one says Act TV. Oh, forget it. Let's just say Nicole Sandler brings you Juliana Furlano. Her name hasn't changed, has it?
No, except now she's Mama Juliana. Hey there, honey.
Hi, it's so great to be back on the show.
Oh, it's
Hi.
So great to talk to you. It's been a while. For those who don't know, yes, Juliana Furlano did all those things, but you've taken a bit of a rest because you had a little baby girl.
That's right, I had a little baby girl, and you know how they say to people, oh, were you crying at commercials,
yeah.
Kleenex commercials, and I'm like, commercials for Kleenex. I was crying at commercials for Chili's. I mean, I was like an emotional wreck. And I thought it was just the pregnancy and the hormones that go along with that. But as it turns out, it was really the death of democracy and the Trump presidency that has been just so disturbing. And
you too, huh?
I mean, it's hard for everyone.
Yeah.
Obviously.
You know, I've never made a secret of the fact that I've suffered from depression for a long time. It has been so much worse if in the last 6 months, and I thought maybe it had to do, you know, with the cancer and all the medication I was on and all that stuff. I really think it's this administration. It's the insanity going on in the world.
I think so too.
And yep. And I see a therapist, and she told me she's seeing more of it than ever before. That there's so much anxiety and depression and stress and worry that it's a real thing.
Yes, and you know, they say that they always have said when it starts getting bad, then the crazy people start kind of the normal people start getting a little crazy, and the crazy people start getting really crazy.
Oh God!
And so we're kind of seeing that all over the place here. You know, it's. Plus, this heat doesn't help. I don't know what part of the country you're in, but here it's like a billion.
You don't. I'm in Florida.
I meant the listeners, but yeah.
I thought you knew where I was.
You're like on the surface of the sun.
Yes, although the Northeast is hotter than it is down here right now. If I recall seeing correctly, it's opposite world. The whole world has gone mad.
It is opposite world, and you would be crazy to not be anxious and sad at this point in time.
I guess.
You know, like anxiety and sadness. I fear when people go to therapists, yes, go get your medication, et cetera, or whatever. But when you go to therapists because you think it's you, it's not you. It's not a therapist you need. It's the street with a protest sign because you're not crazy. You're not, you know, of course it's depressing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But I find that, you know, as much action as I can do is what keeps me going, because even if everything goes to hell, at least I know I did something.
Yeah. Well, and you're in New York, so there's something going on all the time there. You can always join a march down here in Florida, we have it too. But I'll tell you, this time of year, you really can't be outside for too long.
No, but I mean, you know, thank God we actually have the internet and everybody has right wing uncles. And sometimes it, you know, I don't want people to just be like a Facebook activist, of course, but I do think that because the media is skewing the main media, and even our local news now being bought up by Sinclair, which is worse than Fox. We need people of good faith and normal human values to actually speak those values out loud in whatever forum they have. So if you can't carry a sign outside because it's a billion degrees, that doesn't matter. You know, everyone has their ways of remembering that we're all in this together.
That's right. And I just took a call a few minutes ago from a guy who said, made a point that I made earlier in the week. Now is the time. Oh, and I got to correct something I said. Now is the time that you need to find out what your voter ID laws are, where you live, and start preparing. Even though it's not, you know, the midterm elections are 18 months away, you got to get prepared now. I made the comment that I thought in just about every state that a driver's license was good enough at the poll. Don't take my word for it, because I, you know, knowing how these Chris Kobach and his ilk work, in your state, they may not accept a driver's license as a good enough ID.
What you need is to be a card-carrying member of the Republican Party, and then you just show that card, and
right,
then you can vote. Anybody else is scrubbed, is not allowed to vote.
Right. Well, you need to, you know, you need to go through all the machinations. You need to make sure you're on the voting rolls. You need to make sure you have the proper ID and start doing it now. It's never too early, because you need to be able to vote in, I think it's November 6th, 2018.
Yes.
So now...
That's something you can do, you know, if there's no protest near you.
Yes.
That's something you can do.
You can do that while you're doing other things as well.
Right. Sure.
So are you having a hard time staying up to date on everything that's happening? Because I feel to be informed, right? I try to stay on top of everything. And there's so much. I figured out the one thing that Donald Trump didn't lie about in his campaign. Here, listen.
Their heads would spin. Your head will spin.
Your head will spin.
Your head will spin.
Right? My head's been spinning.
So true.
I cannot. Did you by any chance watch any of the press briefing from today?
Only, you know, I watched some of it, but honestly, you have to go back and, you know, it's just so hard to keep up. I count on my friends. We've parceled out, you know, this person keeps up on this and that person keeps up on that. And I keep up mostly on what's happening in the media and the devolution of our media and the sort of propaganda machine, as I have been keeping up in the past. So I have my own assignment and we get together and tell each other what's going on.
That's a great idea. I wish I had friends here that I could do that.
You can join our group.
Okay. All right. I will do that. Well, so I watched it. So, you know, Sean Spicer quit because they brought in Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, which is his nickname. That's what they call him, the Mooch.
This is an embarrassment to being Italian. I'm sorry.
That's right. He's one of your people. You know,
no.
Let me ask you this. You know, I always thought, I'm not a fan of Sean Spicer, but when they were in Rome And the Trump family went to the Vatican to meet the Pope, and he takes along Jared and Ivanka, who are allegedly Orthodox Jews, and Sean Spicer, who is a devout Catholic. They didn't take. He purposely left him out. I thought that was the biggest insult ever. And it's like, how could this man ever, how can he work for this guy? Was that as big?
That guy is a groveling little, you know, to take a job where you have to defend the lying, treasonous.
Yes.
I don't know, you know. The
orange orangutan.
He's already been insulted. This is at the bottom of the list of
right.
insults.
That's just how low can you go? When I heard that, I mean, I knew that he'd been put down and kicked around and shoved out the door. You know, he'd just been demeaned by this president in so many ways. But that, I thought, was the final straw. I would have quit after that.
And yet he hung around.
He did.
You know, where are these people? They don't have any values that help other people, but they also don't have any, you know, personal sense of
decency,
like their own integrity.
No,
you know?
No integrity whatsoever. Oh, so today he quits. Now that's something that that Jeff Sessions should have done. So Donald yeah. Trump calls him out and says, "Well, if I knew he was going to recuse himself, I would have said no thanks. I wouldn't have hired him to be my attorney general." So Jeff Sessions comes out yesterday when, by all rights, he should have said, either, you know, I do this job, I serve the law, I serve the Constitution, and if that's not good enough, then I will quit. Instead, you know, he did his Keebler elf thing. I'm here and I serve this president, and I'm serving him right now. We cracked down on health care. That's exactly what he said, by the way.
I agree with Jeff Sessions on one thing. When he said, "I never thought I would be in this position as attorney general," I'm like, me neither, Jeff.
Right.
I also can't believe it.
Yeah.
What an honor for
yes.
you.
Yes. And he's staying there. And every commentator that I saw on TV, every former Justice Department official was like, this is an embarrassment beyond words.
You know, we were talking, you and I were kind of emailing before about, you know, maybe talking about how we stay sane during all of this. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways is not to follow everything. I know you have to because you're a show host, but as I said, I parcel it out. For me, I have to parcel it out. And, you know, he's doing enough horrible things in every sector that if you're following one thing, you're following, you know, it's all going to lead to the rest of the things.
Right.
And also just listening to shows like yours, where people who are sane come to talk, because you wind up feeling a little crazy out there. And I'm sure it's by design. They have done an excellent job of skewing public discourse with their right-wing media talking points, which somehow trickle into like your everyday conversation, you know.
Yep.
But Hillary did it. I'm like, well, Hillary has nothing to do with anything anymore.
Right.
You can't bring up what Hillary
right.
did.
She's done. She's gone.
She's over. She's,
right.
I don't even know what she's doing.
She's out of she's hiking in the woods with her dog. She's out of the picture. It's not about Hillary anymore. But, you know, they're bringing her up again. This is their
yes.
thing. And one of them, one of the Orrin Hatch or one of the morons over there said something. If they keep going down this road on the Russia thing, we're going to start investigating Hillary Clinton and the emails again. Get over it. It's
so
done.
What? Who are they going to prosecute?
She's a private citizen. She's not. She
yeah.
will never be in public life again. She's done.
Yeah.
But they got nothing else.
No. Ay, ay, ay. Well.
So you're keeping up on the media. So
I'm
then,
keeping up on the media and the Russia story, of course, because it's our greatest hope of getting rid of him.
I guess.
And the whole bunch.
And now they're talking about Jared and Paul Manafort having to testify before the Judiciary Committee next week, and Don Jr. Going before the Intel Committee. Do you think any of those three will happen?
You know, Don Jr., the eldest son of the Trump crime family, He's no Santino, you know, Santino from Corleone
yes,
crime family.
Yes.
He's more of a Fredo.
Yes.
So I would love to see him up there testifying, because I just think he would blow it.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be in an open hearing or not. I think the Jared and Manafort are going to be a closed hearing, but I think Fredo is supposed to be before an open hearing. But I don't know if he'll be under oath. I think it's all up in the air right now. We don't even know if they're going to testify.
Right, right. Well, I guess we'll see. I wish it was open. If it was any kind, if there was any justice in this world, it would be.
Well, it should.
It would be open.
Yeah, and they should have to be under oath. That's the other thing. They may not have to be under oath. And then what's the point of testifying? Exactly.
Well, how can you even call it testifying? It's like the definition of testifying.
But there's still, there's still a law, I believe, against lying to Congress. I think.
Oh, I'm sure Trump will probably try to get that over with an
right.
executive order.
Or he's having his attorneys find out every little loophole in there. If it's not distinctly against the law to lie to Congress and you're not under oath, go ahead, tell them whatever you want, Donna.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There was another reason I wanted to ask you about the press briefing today. So, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to be the new Sean Spicer. She is the new press secretary officially.
Yeah. I wonder if Melissa McCarthy will be playing her as well.
Ooh, you know, she can't.
Saturday Night Live comes back.
That would be a great idea because people were bemoaning the loss of Melissa McCarthy as Spicy. She could do a Sarah.
I think she could do it.
Oh,
she's
easily. She's very talented. But here's what I got. The first time we saw Sarah Huckabee Sanders, she's not a beautiful woman, I got to say. And look, it's not a sexist thing. Sean Spicer is not a good looking man. I mean, I make fun of people's looks.
And he's not a good looking woman. So that works out.
You got that either. Right. And but now when Sarah's on camera, I don't know if you noticed, but she's got all the makeup. She's got the pearls. She had the little red dress on today and the fake fucking eyelashes. What wow. is it with the fake eyelashes? Do you get this?
No, because I have long black eyelashes in Italian girl. It's one of my hair is not something I am lacking.
you do have hair. I don't. I mean, you know, my eyelashes could be longer.
I don't know. That seems like, come on.
But oh my God, it's all I could see. She had the smoky eyes today, the smoky eyes and the falsies on the eyelashes. And I
gotta tell you, when you go on TV or you go on, I'm sure they have a makeup person who's
yes.
just doing it. She probably has no choice in the matter.
I think Donald says you got to be a 10. If you're going to go on camera, you got to be a 10. Well, I'm sorry. She's not a 10.
Oh my God.
I can't
Maybe
believe
she
I
has
just
Donald
said that.
Trump's makeup person doing it.
Well,
and so soon she'll be like more and more orange.
But that's what Scaramucci said. Somebody asked him, "Are you going to now that Sean Spicer's not going to be here? Are you going to do more on-camera briefings?" And he said something about, "Well, I need hair and makeup. That's up to that Sarah's department or something like that." I was just like, "What world are we living in?" But it's not only
it's
her.
Pussy grabber's world.
Yes,
world
it is. but it's even the news girls. All the women on MSNBC. Casey Hunt, you know, she's a cute young woman, but she's got a funky thing going on with her left eye. And the other day she was wearing the fake eyelashes and it looked like it was falling off. I get distracted by these things.
Yeah, well, that is a thing. That, you know, if it's distracting you from hearing,
yes.
you know, the fact that our president is a treasonous monster, you know, that's a kind of a problem. Yeah, that's not good. we need our one news channel.
Yes, like a real news channel.
Yeah,
I haven't found it. There's you mentioned Sinclair bought up the Tribune company and all is going to change.
Syracuse, New York. Syracuse has, you know, it has its three ABC, CBS, NBC, and then it has some other local news. They're all except for one, all of Syracuse, New York's stations are Sinclair owned. Now, Syracuse, New York it's now a service industry place, very economically depressed, really high margin between, you know, lower income and the middle class, upper income. Very little middle class anymore because all of the manufacturing has gone overseas. It is the poster town. My hometown is the poster town for what has happened under trickle-down economics to our entire country. And the people who live there are being brainwashed and fed brainwashing information,
mm-hmm.
packaged in I mean, they're very smart about psychology, the way they package that information so that it makes you identify with it as a person of goodwill. No one wants gang wars, but there are no gang wars. So if you're saying gang wars are happening over and over, you know, it's just...
Then people believe it. Well, it goes back to what you were talking about. It's the gaslighting thing that's happening where, you know, Trump will lie to you. He'll look in the camera and he'll say the sky is green and we'll go, no, it's blue. And he'll say it's green. And then Kellyanne Conway will come on and say, well, of course the sky is green. And then Anthony Scaramucci will say, they told you it's green. Of course it's green. Where you start thinking, am I crazy? I'm looking up and I see the sky is blue, but they're all telling me it's green. This is the world we're living in right now.
I think people of a certain age are aware. I don't think people of a certain age are saying, am I crazy? The sky is blue. But I think the younger people, they're counting on the fact that younger generations see TV, trust TV.
No, but the younger kids don't watch TV. And that's the beautiful thing about it.
Yeah, thank
but they read the internet. They're on the internet, and that's where the, you know, all the aside from Fox, but that's where a lot of the fake news was propagated. You know, that's how. And I know there's disagreement on the Russia story. I do believe that they had hackers pounding out these just, you know, story after story after story and putting them out and targeting them where they needed to go, where they were told by their American counterparts that this is the district you need to target. But, you know all about the fake news. Again, it goes back to gaslighting because we've had fake news for years. It's nothing new.
Your original source for fake news. Fox News. We make shit up.
They've always done it. Fox has always made shit up and presented it as news, and they could get away with it because it was cable. The FCC had no jurisdiction over it. Now, this is the thing about Sinclair stations. With the over-the-air TV stations, I don't know how they could make shit up and present it as news when it's fake because the FCC has jurisdiction. Oh, shit, now I know because now the Republicans control the FCC.
Right. That's true. And also they're doing things like having, a terrorist alert and then reporting things that aren't really terrorist related. So it seems like there's always terrorism going on and that we should always be on alert for terrorism. But then the stories are, a Muslim guy got married and wore a headdress, you know, in Santa Cruz. You know, they're not necessarily terrorism related. They're Muslim related and they're conflating the two, which is, you know, the subtlety of what they're doing is more insidious than just here's a completely fake story. When there's half truths involved in something, that I feel that that's even more insidious than when it's a full on complete lie, because you know half of it's true, and then one might assume that the other half is also true.
Right, and you, if you're left to your own devices to parse out, okay, well, which part of this is real and which is made up? Well, that's the problem.
We got to go to our shrinks and get our meds because, it's not only that people are watching the news and then, you know, getting crazy, but people are watching the news and getting crazy on both sides. And then they go out in the street and they act from a place of being, you know, hyped up over what's going on politically. And then people are being just more insane to each other. And it just certainly seems like the pot is boiling and the frogs are dead.
Right. No, I know. Because they don't know when to jump out. So that's the question. I mean, every time I think, I don't know how we're going to get past this. I mean, yesterday was the 6-month mark, 6 months since the inauguration day. Only 6 months. We've got 7 more of these periods to go through before he's out. And then we're not even assured of that. So 7 more of this 6-month period, I don't know how we can survive it. And then I'm reminded, look, we survived Reagan. We survived Nixon. We survived George W. Bush for 2 terms. I mean, we'll get through this, but I don't know.
Think the thing that really puts the accelerator on this is 2 things. One, his playing fast and loose with the nuclear powers, both that we have and loose lips about other nuclear, countries with nuclear powers.
Yep.
That's pretty scary. And number 2, the fact that the environment and global warming is or excuse me, climate change. Can't say global warming anymore, but climate change is such a, is we're at the precipice.
Yes.
Things are happening.
Yeah, we had the whole Arctic ice shelf break off. I mean, they don't even, they're saying they don't even know if that's climate change related, but it's going to affect things. How can it not be? Right.
I mean, that's the beauty of scientists. They wouldn't say it until it's absolutely, right, you know, for sure, proven, et cetera. But if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, most people will call it a duck.
Usually, yes.
And, you know, the story that really gets me that is obviously related to climate change is, you know, we have a lot of intense weather things happening, and storms are dropping more rain in smaller amounts of time, heavier rains, et cetera. And that flash flood story out of Arizona. These are just normal people swimming in a swimming hole, having a birthday, doing nothing wrong, and being basically killed by climate change.
Right.
This is no joke. And
no.
So I think that's what puts the accelerator on the fact that Trump is such a dangerous person, not to mention the 20 years of, or 20, I guess more than 20 years of the slow handing over of power to corporations. It just feels like this is the final thing. And if
right, because these are his
thing,
people.
Screwed.
Right. Yeah. These are his people. You know, I misspoke again because I'm looking at the YouTube chat room. Robin says, I didn't survive Nixon. I wasn't born yet. Well, I don't think we've survived Reagan or Bush, to be honest. Thousands of people have died from Reagan austerity and thousands more in Iraq. That's true. And now we're looking at them trying to take away our health care. My listener is probably sick of me talking about it, but my insurance is only because of the Affordable Care Act. If that goes away, if they take that away, I am so screwed. And
I think what's really important, in addition to the people who have that actual insurance, is that we get this message to people who have insurance through their workplaces that this is going to screw them too.
Yes, it will.
I think the general understanding is like, oh, poor people aren't going to have insurance.
Right.
But they don't understand that actually nobody but the very rich will have anything, akin to the kind of health care coverage a human being needs.
Remember how it was before the Affordable Care Act? You know, I keep hearing, oh, premiums are going to rise 25, 50, 100%. Well, before the Affordable Care Act, every year my premiums would skyrocket. Every year they'd cancel the old policy. We don't offer that anymore. We'll offer this new one. Just because it still happens under Obamacare, those are the things they need to fix. But don't. To use an old phrase, to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. I mean, you take what works and then you fix the shit that doesn't work.
Right.
Oh,
that's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got,
and I
like,
think that is scary, but I'm starting to see, you know, I've been looking, I'm a woman of action and a woman of some faith, not the normal kind, but some.
Okay.
And I'm starting to see like, so I don't wish John McCain any ill, but he has a brain tumor.
Yep.
Just that it's a very good timing for him to have a brain tumor. And, you know,
he's not coming back. He's not coming back for a vote next week. But now I'm hearing Lisa Murkowski is now vacillating on her vote. This is really tight. This is not a time to get cocky. You know, I've seen some Democrats celebrating. No, this is serious time. All hands on deck time, because they're looking to do this. And now, you know, if none of these votes pass, they can put it to bed, and then maybe Democrats and Republicans might start working together and on actually fixing something. I know, that's funny, isn't it?
I mean, I feel like, you know, the baby is one years old and she's coming up on her toddler phase, and I'm starting to feel like they're, you know, the Republicans are just like very strong-willed toddlers who don't take no for an answer.
Yep.
You know, they just keep on. And the minute you set the boundary, they're just going to, I think we have to expect that even if they don't, you know, pass their health care bill this time, they're going to keep pushing for that.
Oh, yeah.
So our pushback needs to just not, we can't relax. We can't relent. So we have to be able to be, you know, we're in this for the long haul, this fight, all of these fights toward justice and freedom and the best, the good for all people. We're in this for the long haul. So we have to find a way to make sure we're staying okay while we're doing all of this fighting and pushing back. I suggest comedy.
Yes, well, comedy. Good. There you go. So, Juliana Furlano, you've been being mom for the last year, dealing with the baby. Are you coming back into the
profession? I'm coming back, yes. In fact, next week on ACT TV, your very funny intro to me cracks me up. You know, I'm going to be covering some of these live protest events here in New York City. I am the on-the-ground correspondent, so I will make sure to be both serious and hopefully funny.
Awesome.
If there's anything that one can be funny about.
Well, send me those so then I can play them during my show.
That would be terrific. Nicole, it's been so great to come back, and you sound good.
Oh, well, thank you, and you do too. Give that baby a big kiss for me.
I will. Thank you, Nicole. Great talking to you, too.
Just watch out for the nose. One of Allison's first words was no, and one of my favorite memories is being outside of her room when she was just, you know, cooing in her crib going, no, 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 no.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
It is,
until it's not. Go give her a big kiss. Juliana Furlano, we'll talk soon, okay?
Bye, Nicole.
All right, bye-bye. Juliana Furlano. Find her on Twitter at Juliana Furlano. Her website's outdated, but you can go to julianafurlano.com anyway and check it out. And that's it for the week. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll do it again on Tuesday. We'll be back with Gotta Laugh. Until then, stay sane. Don't buy the gaslighting. All right? And find out what you need to vote. Take care. Thanks for listening. I'm Nicole Sandler. Just because